Peter and Edgy, thank you for joining International Media from Michigan State University. Now, football, soccer as it's known in the United States, is massively popular in Africa. How did this happen?
Well, football came to Africa with colonialism. It was part of what Europeans felt was their kind of white man's burden to bring Western culture and civilization to Africa. And what happened was that things didn't turn out as Europeans wanted, and Africans appropriated the game and transformed it into a tool of cultural pride, but also anti-colonial nationalism. And so by 1960, when African nations became independent, most of them, football became a way to demonstrate international citizenship and national unity.
In Europe, expectations are often high and media coverage is usually more critical than supportive if things go wrong. Is that the case in Africa, or is football more of a vehicle for national identity and pride?
Well, I think it's similar in Africa to Europe. I'm reminded, for example, of something that happened just a few days ago during the Algeria-South Africa match. And South Africa had taken the lead, and the Algerians were favored to win the tournament, came back and won 3-1. And someone was tweeting from the ground saying that the scenes among the Algerian journalists and some of the other North African journalists were amazing. They were jumping up and down and screaming and yelling. And so the boundaries between journalism and fandom tend to blur during these tournaments. But there's a lot of pressure, for sure, on the participants. And if the results don't come, then the media and the fans become quite critical. So it's very similar to what you see outside of Africa.
Many of the stars of African football play overseas rather than at home. Would you say this displeases or pleases African commentators?
Among some, especially the older ones, there's a bit of a nostalgia for that bygone era when, you know, Roger Miller and Segun Odegbami, you know, Lakhdar Belumi, Robert Mensah, all these great players entertained crowds in their home countries. You know, when players fought for pride rather than for money. But the world has changed, and African commentators often take tremendous pride in the success of players like Eto'o and Drogba and Yaya Toure. You know, the list is long. They are not just global celebrities, but commentators often point to them as somewhat rare positive symbols of Africa's strength, skill, and competitiveness.
Now, the World Cup, as you well know, is a cash cow. Does the Africa Cup of Nations generate much revenue enough to allow matches to be shown to bigger audiences via free non-subscription channels?
Well, that's interesting. CAF has a very lucrative contract with Sport 5, the sports marketing giant, which allows CAF to raise a lot of income through the sale of broadcasting rights and sponsorships. However, as often happens, you know, in global sport, how this revenue is actually used is not clear. We do know that the Cup of Nations is broadcast in Europe, in North America, and elsewhere, so the audience is growing on the international scale. However, rising broadcasting fees have put the matches out of reach of several African state broadcasters, right, who have free-to-air broadcasts. So while global audiences are tuning into African football in larger numbers, there are millions of African fans who do not have access to pay TV or online streams, and they are shut out of the competition. They cannot watch.
And typically, who's in the ground to watch? Is it any VIPs and the wealthy, or can media from across Africa afford to be there?
Media representatives from across Africa, but if you look at the grounds in Equatorial Guinea, the crowds are very small. So it is very much the VIPs and the wealthy who dominate. And this is, you know, because of the financial cost of attending such a major sporting event, but also because of the complicated nature of international travel in Africa.
Usually tournaments like this are showcases for up-and-coming talents who hope to be recruited by leading clubs outside Africa. Does that excite much speculation?
Well, you know, there is a lot of excitement about that. As with globalization at large, you know, there are winners and there are losers. In terms of excitement and winners, CAF comes out on top, no doubt. Their prestige, their brand, and their income is increased as a result of the tournament. There are some few fortunate young men who do secure a trial or even a contract with overseas professional clubs while playing in the tournament. So they are very excited and come out on top. And also the player agents and federation officials, right, who are there to get in on the business of professional football, they take a cut of any of the money that's exchanged, and they're very much involved. So the losers in this whole process, I think, are the domestic clubs and leagues in Africa, and also the local fans in many ways who become more and more tethered, you know, emotionally and otherwise, to these African players who are overseas, and also to foreign clubs, Manchester United, Arsenal, Real Madrid, Barcelona, and so on.
Peter Leahy, thanks for joining us from Michigan State University.
My pleasure.